Hey everybody, welcome to Friday, March 6th Dumpcast, the only manga podcast to accept Bitcoin. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
No, we're going to get so many emails now. Crap.
It's cool, you can invest it in my Mount Jumpcast bank.
So Bleach, yeah.
Do we have any house cleaning?
I don't really think so. I guess I read the second chapter of Stealth Symphony. It's better than the first.
So worth reading?
Huh?
Worth reading?
Still on the fence.
Yeah.
The second chapter of Illegal Rare is taking an annoyingly long time to come out, especially since it seems like the raws for up to four are out there.
Yeah, that was the first one of this group that came out, and they didn't start translating it until a little bit later in the sequence, and, you know, second chapter of Stealth Symphony is out in Weekly Shonen Jump, because that's one of the ones that they're publishing, so.
I'm still going to check if Beelzebub is there on schedule.
Greg decided to be an asshole today and be like, hey, Beelzebub's out.
I thought about doing that too. He just beat me to it.
Yeah, the second I didn't think like Beelzebub was actually out.
The first week after, that would have been too mean, but you know.
You didn't. You observed a decent interval, but then decided a week after is fine.
You basically took like a dead person's cell phone and called someone with it, so they came up on caller ID.
Oh, so he's the, what is it?
Is that a thing?
He's trying to think of some horror movie.
No, the British, phone hacking.
Oh, The Office?
Okay. Yeah, sure, no. The Office.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
About the,
Top Gear?
Why is this failing me right now?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the newspaper.
It's the
Daily Mail? I mean, it's News Corps, whatever they are.
Yeah, yeah. It was Murdoch.
Yeah, but whatever.
Isn't it great how we all forgot about that?
Yep, we're totally up on our British stuff.
So Bleach. They did what I wanted for once. They stayed with the fight with Yachiru and other person.
V.
Yeah, although I do have to admit that while reading this chapter, it was kind of funny because it was so obvious. I mean, it was very, very obvious that it was, there is absolutely nobody that this person would be monologuing to, so he's just thinking about all of his powers so that the readers can understand what's going on.
In fairness, they're pretty cool powers if they were not wholly lifted from other fiction.
Oh yeah, no, it is a perfectly neat ability. It's just that the way in which the details were provided was amusing. I don't know.
Also, I don't understand why he has this ability and why, like, he's a she? No, they've heard it was an old man before.
Really? The case, like, don't they? I don't know.
I think it's an old man. But
it's
aren't
Pat.
They just normal humans? But, like, with Quincy powers?
That stopped mattering a long time ago. Remember when Quincy were like, okay, the Quincy used to just be, like, this respectable group of, like, Wiccans, and now they're, like, luchadors and...
But, like, even, like, the rest of the stuff has
Nazis
been, like...
And...
Yeah.
You can reasonably argue that that's Ryatsu-related somehow.
That he's
everyone forget... No, well... That was just a personality quirk. But the rest of the stuff, like the fear powers,
she
the ice
is
powers.
Absorbing the spirit particles from their brains in such a way that it is, you know.
The particles that make up their memory and perception. Whatever.
See, it makes perfect sense.
I do like that she apparently has such a completely broken power, but she's fighting like the two people who pose no threat whatsoever.
Yeah, people do repeatedly refer to him as him. I don't know, who cares?
Yeah.
V.
It.
Pat.
Yeah, Pat. Just call it Pat.
So, Yachiru just keeps punching him, or trying to punch him, but it's not working because the second she punches him, that he
it's
fades
like
away
an
into
after
the ether.
Image.
Yeah.
Well, I think he is actually getting punched, right? Like, anyway.
Well, no. The after image is getting punched. Going from phase one to phase two.
That's
but
right.
Usually he relies on the fact that once he fades away, they don't remember him, so they're not going to attack him immediately again.
Yeah, it's the three-step process that gets explained in incredible detail.
Like seven pages?
No one, because they can't remember and can't hear him at the time, so, yeah.
But since Yachiru is a child, she just immediately just punches him the second she sees him.
Because of instinct.
Yes. Which is what Kenpachi taught her. And since Kenpachi's never coming back ever...
Never.
Never, ever.
Not at all.
She has no problem just killing this guy.
I do like the made my heart skip a beat, which is not normally the way you would think of using that phrase.
Yeah. That feels like it's lost in translation somehow.
I would say that person startled me. That might be a more English way of saying that.
Or, you know, bad vibes or something. Something more than like, you know, it kind of sounds like you're into him.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not here to judge.
So at some point, Yachiro takes out her sword.
Yeah.
She, you know, goes and grabs it. And it's revealed she does... The thing that I had hoped for the longest time is obviously not the case.
The fan rumor was that she was Kenpachi's Bankai.
Well, there was never a whole lot of... It's like, just that... That seemed like a good theory that just never panned out.
Where it came from is basically just like... It's the whole thing of his origin where he sat down with his sword to like finally talk to it, and then she appeared, and she had no name, and he didn't know the sword's name. That's kind of where people started.
Well, I mean, there was that thing, the like she was powerful and quick enough that she was appearing and disappearing places with it, like captains not noticing.
Yeah, like she was just coming, you know, coming out of nowhere.
Never seeing her fight and never seeing her draw her own sword either. So
I'm betting money that was originally the intention.
Or it was an idea that was placed in and never expounded.
Either he forgot about it or just decided not to do it.
Because it would have been pretty cool if it turned out that she was his sword.
Yeah. As opposed to just being like an inexplicably little girl Shinigami that...
is extremely powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we learn a little bit about her sword. And it's like a 3-in-1, basically.
Yeah.
It's all a little confusing. I might have to look over it.
From the sounds of things, it's like... she attacks, and then there is, like, a piece of it that is attacking before and after in the exact same spot.
Right.
In time. Which is a cool idea.
And we see that her sword is actually, like, two other monsters, pretty much.
Yeah. Like a weird Yeti thing. It kind of looks like a hollow.
Yeah. Some freaking...
Which is, like, I guess what's striking me most about this fight is, you know... even after all this time, he's still able to come up with actually creative releases.
Yeah, yes. I like the look of the monsters.
And it kind of fits their personality. Like, she has playmates as her sword.
God.
Incredibly creepy and monstrous playmates.
Yeah. And it totally fits the personality.
Orihime, that's what her name is. I was going to say that thing looks like... I couldn't remember her name. I was going to say, like,
what main character, Orihime?
Yeah, sure, main character.
She was at one point, then she became the damsel really, really fast, and then never recovered. Like,
so,
it took Rukia
so
two arcs.
Which one of those two monsters are you saying looks like Orihime?
No, it looks like her brother. It kind of reminds me of the big hollow-looking one.
Hair. Yeah.
Over the mask.
Was her brother a parrot, or am I misremembering something?
No, that was Chad's deal, was the little kid.
Yeah, that was Chad had the little kid who the parrot had the little kid's soul.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
He got, like, killed by this place or something like that.
Yeah.
Triple sword, though. Pretty neat. Not really thematically, I don't know.
Though, I hope this is, like, this. Now that we've gotten, like, the... what's the word?
Explanation out of the way?
Yeah, all of that stuff. I hope it's not just killing low versus killing low again.
Yeah, like, or having an actual fight for once.
I don't even know it needs to be a fight. I mean, just, like, end it.
Yeah.
She beat him. It's good. I've drained everything out of the situation that I need to.
Yeah, I can imagine a fight between someone with that power just being like a real bore to read.
Yeah.
It's just all going to be like, oh, but I wasn't really there. Oh, but now you don't remember me.
And more to the point, like, I mean, I like Yachiru, but she's not really much of a character, and I don't need to see her grow through the fight.
I mean, obviously, Kenpachi's going to show up at some point. So yeah. This fight's not just going to be over.
Or at least that would be our assumption.
Yeah. Then again, who knows? Like, maybe Kenpachi is dead and he died off screen. And that was when we found out about it.
I mean, Bleach is regularly back in the bottom five again.
Yeah, it's...
So maybe they'll hurry the pace up a little bit.
The pillars holding it up are gone.
I mean, this Bleach itself used to be a pillar. It used to be like, when we talked about this podcast, it was one of the big three.
Well, that's what we referred to it as. We weren't really paying attention to the ratings before then.
I mean, there was a time where it was the big three.
Definitely.
The big three was always just a fun nickname that seemed to mostly come from what was actually popular in America.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was a time... popular in America.
What's that?
One Piece wasn't popular in America.
Sure it was. It was popular with Americans that read Scanlations.
I don't know. I legitimately think there was a time where Bleach was up there with Naruto in
One Piece
in popularity.
I'm not saying it was never up in the top
10. I think like towards I'd be generous and say like towards the middle of the Aizen arc is where it just the bottom fell out.
I don't know. The end of the Aizen arc seems to be like, that was kind of ham-fisted, but that was a good way to end it. Wait, what are you doing? What's going on?
I'd
say that's where the bottom really fell out, but I'd say it lost its way, honestly, in the middle of Wakamundo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's where I lost interest. Okay. So, yeah. It's been like, well, this is going on way too long, and there hasn't been... Because I remember specifically what happened. It was like, there would be 17-page chapters where 16 pages were wordless sword swinging. Not even at each other, just
on
swinging.
White backgrounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing that ultimately ended up really disappointing me is when the Vizards ended up being just good guys instead of being a third faction.
Yeah.
I think the time, like, I had stopped reading Bleach by then, I think, but it was, I still kept up with the periphery of it, and when they took the little girl character and they made it like sexy little girl, I was like, I don't think I really need to come back to this manga.
Which, who are you talking about?
No. I think he's talking about Nell.
Oh, Nell. Okay, yeah. Nell, who has never been mentioned again, which is really weird.
No, she was in this arc.
Was she?
Yeah, they met her for like a page.
Oh yeah, those people that are off doing that thing that's clearly important and referenced all the time.
Yep.
You couldn't remember Orihime.
Critical.
Maybe they have that power. They're just like erasing themselves from my memory.
Whenever you're not looking at them, then they don't exist.
Yeah.
That's a good segue into the universal Raku theory.
Yes.
Okay, so Tachibana's pet, who is one of the police officers that we saw in like that one cafe scene.
Yeah, that one time.
Like the first chapter, which I thought it was kind of hilarious that they specifically had to refer to that specific incident.
Yeah, because it's all the main girls have like a dude in their respective factions. And this is her dude.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't come up very much that she's the daughter of the police commissioner.
Like at all.
Yeah, hardly ever. That was like, remember when she showed up and it's like, oh god, gangsters and a police person now.
I kind of wonder if you combine or Tachibana as a combination of more than one girl. Because she's the only one that has more than one facet to her.
She's sick and a police commissioner's daughter?
Yes. That's it. That's exactly it. Like,
well, or he made.
And that's why there's so many girls now. He went, damn it, wasted opportunity.
Now, Onodera is a loser and a baker. So she's got two things.
I don't think the loser thing is intentional. I think it just sort of happened.
She just goes home and sits in the dark thinking about Raku.
So anyway, this guy, Migusuke. Migusuke? Migusuke.
Has a crush on a girl and has no idea what to do with it.
He is in love.
So he came to Marika for advice.
And he's never talked to girls
like
in his life.
That seems like the most intelligent thing in the world to do.
And Marika just... She's kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's Marika.
I mean, way more than I thought. Like, she just openly mocks him and makes fun of him. And
well, not just that, but then she's also using this as an as an excuse to make Raku, do things that she wants him to.
Well, obviously.
Marika is the secret villain of the series. We're just not going to realize it until too late.
They're sitting around and talking about how they're going to lend help, and suddenly everyone's head starts hurting before they start thinking about Raku. So they go to find him.
There has to be someone in this town that we can involve to help us with our problem. I know Shu. Oh, he's unavailable. Let's get Raku.
So they find Raku because she has a tractor placed on him. Because Truman
literally.
Show. And they ask him for help about how they can, get advice on asking girls out.
I do like that the police guy is just like, oh, you're from the Yakuza. Oh, don't worry, I'm only off hours. Great police officer.
Yeah. You can't do anything about it, it's fine.
Maybe they have very strict off-hour rules, in the union in Japan.
So it turns out
Migusuke is actually kind of, Bishonen. And
when he wants to be.
Yeah. So he tries to ask someone out in a mock way. and is immediately told that he's wrong.
Well, and then he's like beaten for being wrong. Yes. By Marika.
And then Marika asks Raku to demonstrate it by asking her out, and so then Raku,
I do,
you know.
Well, I do love this sight gag joke of Marika being drawn all shoujo style.
Super long eyelashes.
Yeah.
So she gets Raku to ask, and he does an even worse job of it than Magisuke. But
she immediately accepts.
Yeah.
She's like, see, this is, you know, perfect.
Yeah, do what he does.
And then, every time Raku does something, she goes, this, 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 which I thought was kind of funny.
So chapter kind of goes on that way of her beating Magisuke up and then Raku doing a poor job of something and her freaking out.
I was amused by the complete shelter. I heard that if one touches an unmarried woman's body, she'll get pregnant.
How is he an adult?
What, you mean that's not true?
No, it's totally true, but why does he have to ask? No.
But then, of course, you know, the third one, for whatever reason, is the proposal.
For whatever reason.
Yes.
So Raku just
wanted to have her say that.
So Raku doesn't even ask, he just sort of slides his finger onto the quote-unquote ring.
Imitating a ring.
Yeah.
And then she faints and...
And then gets and admires her ring on her plain hand with no rings on it.
So,
and then
Raku
I have to say, the last two chapters, or the last two pages of this chapter were kind of funny.
So Magisuke goes to Marika's nurse, I think?
Honda. Yeah, that's like, you know, her little, like, handmaid person.
Yeah.
Her attendant.
And Raku is also there because this couldn't happen if Raku were not there. And he grabs her by the head and forces her down and says, marry me.
Slides a ring on.
This weekend. Specifically this weekend.
And she slaps him.
No, she doesn't just slap him. She, like, positions him, walks away to get a running start, and then runs over and slaps him as hard as she can.
Actually, I thought it was a kick, but yeah.
It's apparently a Shining Wizard, a professional wrestling move coined by Japanese wrestler Kenji Muto.
Shining Wizard.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
So yeah, that chapter sucked.
Yeah.
But this next chapter
was
actually
good.
Pretty good, yes.
Yeah. It focused on the best girl, Chitoge. No, Miyamoto.
I don't think Chitoge does not get play in this manga anymore.
No.
She's not supposed to be the main character or main female or anything like that.
Though she gets a totally cheesecake image on the Blu-ray cover.
Yeah. I do like those shoes. Those are pretty cool looking.
Yeah. So the next chapter starts with Ruri sitting in bed Skyping, or sitting in a room Skyping with, we find out, is the maid for her grandfather.
Great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather, who is turning 100 soon.
Yeah. And he wants to meet her boyfriend before he passes away. And he's, like, insisting now, because he's turned 100.
Yeah.
So the way that she decides to who it's going to be is to pull out, you know, the yearbook, dump out a bunch of pictures, and pick one out.
I don't think yearbooks work that way, but...
Yeah. That they're just, like, laminated... Like,
well, class register,
size.
I don't know.
So, who do you guys think she picks?
I'm going to say that one guy who was really jealous of Raku.
Shu. I'm going to go with Shu.
I'm going to guess Onodera. Oh, it was Raku. Who
Big surprise.
I bet you all the pictures have turned to Raku at some point.
I know, it's like, it's Schrodinger's Raku picture. Like, no matter which one she picked, it would have been Raku.
So she shows that picture to the maid, and then the maid's like, hey, bring him with you tomorrow.
Yeah. Cut to Raku sitting on a bus with her.
Man, it sure is convenient that it's one of her two male friends, so they would actually be willing to go with her.
And the other one's there, too.
That would have been great if it was just some guy. Like, one of the other dudes in the class that is just off to the side.
And then she has to get Raku to dress like that guy. That would have been a much better... Actually, I would have liked this arc a lot more if Raku were unavailable and Shu had to pretend to be Raku.
That would also have been, yeah.
He dyes his hair black and acts like an asshole to everybody.
Yeah. Then suddenly everyone loves him. He's like, okay, I'm keeping this.
He's just like, he puts down Miyamoto and then she like turns around and blushes. And she's just like,
What's happening? How are you doing this?
So Miyamoto basically runs down what's going to happen, that they're going to go meet his grandfather. Or her great-grandfather. And then asks why Shu is with them.
Because he was there when she called. Thus, he gets to come along.
Of course.
He's Roger's pet at this point.
So, apparently, Miyamoto's family is also really, really rich.
Yep.
Which Shu points out that they have a lot of rich girls in this class.
Yeah, apparently Shu's the only one who doesn't have money. And they meet the handmaiden who Shu is smitten with.
It's just kind of funny that there's all of these, you know, rich kids and whatnot, and apparently this high school is not all that great, right?
I mean, it's the most dangerous high school I've ever seen. People always getting hurt and things constantly collapsing.
I hear there's girls that just carry guns with them on campus.
So Miyamoto's grandfather comes running out and Ruri kicks him in the stomach.
He's a very energetic, super old person.
Yes.
Who acts like more like a teenager than Miyamoto does.
And he calls himself Musashi Miyamoto, even though that's not his name.
His name is Yoshizo Miyamoto.
So they eat and they introduce Raku. Shu says he's there too. He asks like probing questions and shows adorable baby pictures of Ruri.
Man, I just noticed Raku's plate. He has like a 3-foot-high bowl of rice.
Yeah, the maid.
I guess they both do.
Yeah, the maid's giving them food. So then,
quite a lot of rice.
As, you know, compensation. Not compensation. It's like, make conversation. Shu shows pictures he's taken of Ruri recently.
And the grandfather is super jealous of them and wants to buy them from Shu.
He's moved to tears.
Just like, they bond instantly.
And Ruri realizes that the reason she hates Shu so much is because he's just like her grandfather.
So then Miyamoto and Raku split off to go to their respective rooms.
And apparently Raku was instructed to go to Miyamoto's room.
And where there's a weirdly cheesecake shot of Miyamoto undressing.
Yeah, bra and panties, which is a little bit more than I think they've ever shown in this manga. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, they had that one where everybody was naked, so.
I don't recall. When did that happen?
The color issue?
Nope, don't know what you're talking about. I think so I remember something like that.
The grandfather instructs them to sleep in the same room and Ruri wants to kill him.
I enjoy her reaction, is that this is something you should be doing to Kosaki. And then,
like, repeatedly saying that. And so Raku doesn't get it.
Why is it okay if I do that to her?
So, Shu walks by and she hears the nurse, the maid explaining to them that Ruri's grandfather is actually really sick this time.
He's not letting it on. He's actually going to die pretty soon.
Yeah, he's, you know, putting on the show for her so that she can be happy sort of thing, but does not have long for this world.
So Raku, Miyamoto, and Shu all hear it at the same time. Shu seems to take it the hardest of the three, I think, because we get a zoom in on his face.
Well,
I think that
friend.
Miyamoto takes it the worst, but I think that Shu's probably more concerned than Raku.
There's a weird focus on Shu at the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's at least 50% chance that Miyamoto's going to fall in love with Raku.
Nah, she's immune.
You would think so. But he walked in on her dressing.
Yeah, also this is the most time they've spent together, so, you know, the reality distortion effect is starting to take effect.
I'm really hoping that doesn't happen.
I hope so too, but he walked in on her undressing. That's literally what always happens to start this.
I really think that this is setting up her and Shu.
Yeah,
that would
be
the best thing.
I want them to have a moment, at least. I will be happy. There's going to be something where Miyamoto thinks that Shu is a man that she can actually depend on, and then he's going to mess it up, but they'll still have that moment.
Or she leaves falling in love with Raku. I think there's a 2% chance Shu is going to fall in love with Raku. That's how this works.
Of the girls in the chapter, I think there's a higher chance the maid is going to fall in love with Raku.
Is it because she looks like Fu?
Yes.
I actually did have that thought when she appeared, was like, oh, and so what's going to end up happening this arc is he's going to be pretending to be her boyfriend and the maid's going to fall for him.
And now that the grandpa's dead, she moves to their city to go to the high school with them.
Yeah, I have to take care of Ruri Oji-sama.
Like, it would be nice if there's at least one girl in the manga that does not fall for Raku, but
yeah, I think that's Miyamoto's
place. And
that
one girl will be Fu.
I love the picture of Miyamoto having wet the bed at 5, with just that really smug look on her face.
The unapologetic look.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, yep, this happened. What you gonna do about it?
I really don't like that cheesecake shot of Miyamoto they did.
Yeah.
That feels like it's going a little too far.
I feel like he could have just walked on her, like, starting to pull up her shirt or something to the same effect, not, like, totally just in her underwear.
Like, maybe I'm guessing he got fan requests or something for...
Well, I mean, didn't she end up being number four?
I think it's creepier because of how petite she is. Like, it seems way more like a little girl undressing.
I mean, and she's way more little sistery than pretty much anyone else in the manga.
Yeah.
There's not been a big focus on Ruri being sexually attractive.
Yeah, she's number four, though. There was probably specific letters asking for that.
Yeah, I'm betting this is her reaction.
What's funny to me is I'm guessing that she's number four because she was the one that was not in the harem and therefore was a more interesting character.
Arsan from, I don't know, Kansai.
I mean, even the chapter begins saying it's finally this girl's turn. So I think, like, he did get some request for something with Ruri, at least. Anyway, this was not a bad chapter, that part aside.
Yeah.
Like, surprisingly for Nisekoi, it was funny.
It's funny having Miyamoto there the entire time to just be super pissed at everything that's going on all the time. Yeah.
She's one of the actually better Nisekoi characters.
Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't get ruined next week.
Yeah.
I'd say this is a three arc story.
Yeah.
Three chapter.
Yeah, three chapter arc.
At the beginning, the tragic middle, and the happy end.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to actually
die. In this case, I'm going to guess it's a bittersweet end, is what I'm going to guess.
But... you guys think the great grandpa dies? I doubt it. That seems a little heavy for Nisekoi.
I think he probably dies off screen or says, you know, I don't have long for this world, but I'm glad to see you happy.
If it just, like, implied that, yeah, I'm going to die pretty soon, but. So-and-so.
I'm betting the grandpa realizes
that you're engaged. No.
The grandpa realizes that she's better off with Fu than Raku. Or not Fu. Fu.
I don't know. I think he'd be okay with Fu, given how he reacted to, like, those pictures of her.
You know, I think a Fu relationship works pretty well. They should go for that.
The immunity sisters.
All right. Now for Shokugeki no Soba.
Our part
second
two
half.
Catch up.
Yeah. So, when we talked about last time, the last thing that happened was the breakfast contest. That was first where they were like, okay, Soma should fail more. Because at that point, he was just killing everything.
Is that this eggs tournament?
Yeah. Well, not the eggs. Not
it
a tournament.
The omelet
it was a
thing.
And he made really good food, but it wasn't good for buffets. So he had to, like, rejigger his idea, and he ended up not doing as well as Arena or her cousin, whose name I've forgotten.
Yeah, it was sort of like he pulled it out at the end and still did competently, but was not blowing the doors off.
So after that, they have a little mini arc about Soma going back home.
Which I really enjoyed that bit.
Yeah, it was. He meets that girl that got tentacle raped in the first chapter.
Oh, good. Yeah, these are chapters I'm a little bit more unfamiliar with than.
Well, I mean,
yeah. So, like, in that one, it was he went home and the place that his father's store used to be in was not getting as much foot traffic, and stores were not doing as well because there was a new chain of popular. I guess you can think of it as, like, you know, chicken.
Yeah.
Like. Poppers.
Karage, if you've heard of
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, that was in the actual subway station. So he made a competing thing to try and get the foot traffic back to their local area, sort of thing.
Mm.
And it involved the meat girl, and it was just a fun little arc.
Yeah. She came by to help him, and they ended up making a good karage recipe that saved the store district.
Did they use 11 herbs and spices?
I don't remember what they did. It involves sticks and a cup. And then after that, they do another thing with ping pong. And they like...
Yeah, there was like a one chapter where it was like, all of a sudden this has become a sports manga. And like, they totally lampshaded it. But
yeah.
It was funny.
They put little captions like, this is really a cooking manga, we swear.
It's the kind of thing that reminds me of Beelzebub, of just, it's this thing now. Isn't this funny? Okay, it's not this thing anymore.
honestly, like I said, I think I said it last week, but I believe that this this manga has similar heart to Beelzebub.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same. Like, I don't think anything's going to try that genre split.
It mostly fills the Beelzebub-shaped hole in our hearts.
Yes. So after that, they get announced, they start talking about the election, which is a contest to, what's the word?
Basically nominate the Elite Four.
Yeah. It's basically the same thing.
Number.
It's basically the same thing as every Shokugeki so far, except there's more people.
Yeah. It's like there's an entire tournament sort of thing. And like there's already, did we talk about the fact that there are like 10 students that are actually ranked with numbers at the top?
I don't think we mentioned it, but yeah, Irina is one of them who's the quote-unquote rival.
Yeah, she's the only one from their class, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She kind of got literally grandfathered in, I guess, because her grandfather is the head of the school.
Something like that, yeah.
And then Soma's upperclassman in his dorm is one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, at various points, we've kind of sort of met some of the others and that sort of thing.
Met, number four here, number six there. Not necessarily in order. They just kind of pop up.
Yeah, and then it's also revealed that his dad is was number two when he was there. Yeah.
And so, at some point, his dad comes over. And he heard Soma was in the election, so he's decided to get hit, or have a quick contest with him to teach him something new.
Yes.
And so first his dad feeds everybody, and then they do kind of cheesecake food gasms for a while. And
I do like how more and more elaborate and ridiculously creative the food gasms get.
I wonder how much time he spends on these.
I don't know. There's some pretty ridiculous ones.
But yeah, they all find out his dad was a number two ranked, and like he's well known in the school, but he never actually graduated. And there's been hints here and there that Irina is, like, in love with Soma's dad.
Has a crush on him. Has a girl crush on him.
Which one is Irina again? Is that the white-haired girl?
She's
the
main
girl.
One of the blondes, yeah. She's the main blonde. She's
the really
she's
bitchy
like,
one.
She's chapters. Like the first main blonde that shows up, right? Okay.
The one that hates Soma.
I thought it was the evil, you know, like the white-haired one with, like, the red eyes or whatever.
She's not really evil.
Not evil, but... Yeah.
The white-haired one is her cousin,
whose
name I've forgotten. But I don't think she's, like, she's just kind of bitchy.
Yeah, she's displayed as, And
so,
a little bit of an unpleasant person, not evil.
Yeah, so Soma lost to his father.
The theme of the tournament is curry.
Yeah. And investigating curry, they met an Indonesian guy. Well, not Indonesian. A Japanese guy from Indonesia.
Who's totally Indonesian.
Super Indonesian, yeah.
Yes. And... He is the master of curry.
I jumped ahead. Soma loses handily to his father.
Yeah.
But he learned something in the process.
Yes.
Which is important because him failing actually, like, they go back pretty far with his failures for the payoff.
Yeah, like, this arc which just ended kind of wraps all of those failures up in a tight little bow, sort of.
Right. Yeah. Like, the last 30, 40 chapters all kind of work together. So in the election, only four people can go, and people rarely go above 80%.
Yeah,
80 points.
It's four from each group. So
eight
making a tournament of eight, right?
Yeah.
Or is it a tournament of 16? I can't remember.
I think it's a tournament of eight.
Okay.
Because there's only an A and B block.
That's right.
And I totally forgot who won in the B block.
The main girl, Tadakoro, was one of them.
And the older brother of the two Italian Japanese guys.
Takumi, the little white haired guy.
Yeah, and then I think
clearly
Japanese
Italian
guys too, right?
Hmm. His cousin.
Didn't Irina's cousin make it?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she was in that block. Yeah, she was because she had it out with that one girl. The assistant of Irina.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Did she make it in?
I don't think so.
I think she made it in, but the one who wanted to be her assistant didn't. This is going to be one of those ones that we have a hard time, like, identifying characters, because there's so many.
That's what I was saying was kind of hilarious, because they throw so many names in these couple chapters.
Yeah.
So, like, we mentioned Megumi is one of the people who made it in. I feel like she's kind of the side main character of this manga.
That's the meat girl? She's
no,
no. That's
Megumi's the one with the pigtails.
Oh, Megumi, the assistant. Okay.
The kind of meekish one that's like has way more backstory and screen time than you would think.
The Chun-Li hair. She's got the little buns, right?
I don't think she has buns. They're just pigtails.
Yeah, she just has pigtails.
Oh, talking about Totokoro. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the one who was not good until Soma brought out the good in her.
Right. And even that good's like just okay.
Well, she got into the school, so she was some good. But
yeah. But she had been consistently failing, and then she was on the bubble.
Yeah, but it seems like she's come to the point of, like, her thing is, like, homemade, that homemade feeling that
yeah.
you can't capture, you can't learn in school.
She is the ending of Ratatouille. That's
yes,
basically her character gimmick.
The dude, the big scary dude's going to eat her stuff and then remember being a kid.
Yep. I mean, that's happened, like, several times already in this manga.
Yeah, that's basically what all the foodgasms are. I guess they did have those in Ratatouille.
But they had a specific one that was like, oh, this is just like, I remember skinning my knee as a kid and coming home.
So yeah, so the tournament goes on for a little while. The judges are like these two sisters that are like the CEOs of a curry company.
Yeah, one they're of, two of the main judges. There's and there, you know, panels for each one.
But... And they're apparently like sexual predators.
Well, the more demure looking one is, and the other one's just like, this has these crazy high expectations of like, I've tasted every kind of curry in the world. You better surprise me or I'm going to fail you.
And it turns out, like, five people surprised her.
Yeah, like, just a lot of perfect scores.
I mean, it's fair to say this is, like, the Chunin exam moment of Shokugeki no Soma, right?
Yeah, oh, totally.
So, who wins in Soma's block? It's Indonesian guy, Soma, crazy headband guy, and someone else.
They stretched it out over so many weeks,
right.
I was reading it weekly as it came out, but I don't remember.
the giant guy that showed up the last minute that I don't think.
Oh yeah,
it.
But like
yeah.
They haven't introduced at all.
Like they say, oh, that guy looks dangerous, and they just stop talking about him completely.
And then
yeah,
he
it's
gets
kinda
like
every other character. It seems like you know had their one chapter devoted to their dish sort of thing, and then he was an afterthought, which makes me think he's going to be, I think, the first person Soma's going to have to go head to head against.
I can see that.
I really liked all the dishes in this tournament. They were all really interesting.
And yeah, this manga makes me hungry.
A lot of them didn't seem like
yes.
curry, but okay.
Yeah, a lot of them didn't seem to have anything whatsoever to do with curry. But
it's like, it's a curry-flavored roasted duck.
I mean, so was essentially a curry bomb that
yeah.
like you touch and it explodes in aroma.
Good feelings. I liked the witch girl, like the
yes,
black.
Yeah. She was weird.
All her stuff is terrible, but it tastes great.
I love the gag of her, like, turning normal for, like, half a page and then turning back immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it fixed her. Wait, no, it didn't.
But I also did like the outcome of the tournament where Soma got higher scores from more judges, but his total was lower.
And then they got into a big argument about whose was better,
yeah.
which was the only time the judges really disagreed about anything.
Which is to set up the Soma versus...
Indonesian guy.
Yeah.
There's like
yet another rivalry.
Like I don't remember what his name is yet.
Yeah.
We'll get
so,
there.
So, after the tournament, they all celebrate that they have a big party at their dorm.
This is the recent chapter, so we're caught
yes.
up.
Yes.
And Megumi and Soma have a love interest moment.
Yeah. Which Meat Girl is super jealous about.
Yeah, because she wants Soma.
Whose name I should learn, because she's like my
Nikumi.
Favorite. Nikumi.
Nikumi.
Nikumi, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except no one can call her that but Soma.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, there's like, you know,
I thought
four different girls that have crushes on Soma at this point.
I thought Nikumi was a joke nickname, because Niku means meat. And I thought that was just like a nickname.
I think it's part, like, it's a very familiar name, but it's supposed
like
to be
her,
a pun,
like,
maybe?
Like it's her first name, but it's also her name, sort of thing.
And it's also a pun, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So... I really like that Italian guy's gimmick is that he really wants to be dramatic and angry and just can't pull it off.
Because he's, like, super short and adorable.
Yeah.
Like,
he
cannot be the intense rival that he wants to be.
Or, like, people don't take him seriously enough. Like, he says, like, you're going to have to be the one who judges the, like, which of our dishes is better. And they're like, no.
I
don't feel like doing that.
I love the gag of his brother who, like, has wild weight shifts like,
yeah.
between seasons.
Like he gets fat because he eats so much because he's cooking and is tasting all of the stuff and then
he sweats it
all
during the summer and yeah. people question whether you can survive doing that.
Apparently you can. And during the party they make a deal with Ishiki that he has a business idea or he's He helps restaurants with their business.
And then he freaking exposes himself to them.
Fan service for females character.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that the picture with this, like, once he puts on a suit, that's more fan service than the half-naked thong thing.
Yeah, so Megumi and Soma have to wake up early to go with him to this business meeting, and he's actually dressed for, like, the first time,
like,
in the series.
In a suit and...
up to the nines, basically.
Looking suave. Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're just, like, in their fucking, like, civvies. So, they question whether they should go dress up, and he says, nah, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
They have an important job in a real kitchen.
Yeah. So he's going to put them to work while he does the business. So,
yeah.
Pretty interesting to see where this is going.
Yeah. I like Shokugeki no Soma pretty much, but there's some things here and there I think they meander a little bit too long on. Like some of that, the election tournament stuff, like, I didn't care about most of those characters.
Yeah, because you didn't know who any of those characters were before this, pretty much.
Like, do I really need to know who the silent bodyguard, like, his whole backstory and...
Yeah, there were, like, three or four chapters at a time where you just weren't seeing any main characters.
Yeah.
If you were reading it as those were coming out, it was just kind of like, okay, that's great. Now, let's get back to the people we actually care about.
Then some characters get introduced, and then they don't seem to, like, they don't have a point. Like, the lady in the Chinese dress who's taking over her father's restaurant.
Who has, like, the rivalry with Megumi.
Yeah, but then, like, that rivalry lasted a page, and then she's like, you're pretty good. I'll be watching you.
It's like,
guessing this is just, you know, I don't know, tossing out a whole bunch of seeds that could potentially turn into something later on.
But that's dangerous.
He's tossing out a whole bunch of seeds that can turn into PVC figures that people can buy later on. Like, he's got Chinese girl, he's got witchy girl. Like, they'll sell those.
He's tossing out a whole bunch of people that, you know, when the anime gets made, they can have filler episodes with.
Like, there's been a lot of focus on Ryoko and Yuki, even though they don't really do that much. Yuki is the one with the short pigtails and the tunnely hair. Okay. Ryoko is the long black-haired one.
The big boobed one, right?
Yeah.
That everybody's out about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, from my understanding, they were just like kind of silent side characters in the dorm that didn't really do much up to that point.
I mean, they weren't silent,
competent hookers, but they just were not focused on
them. They were dressing for, like, other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Side characters.
Like, the dorm might as well be boiled down to Soma, Megumi, and Nishiki.
And Man-Ass.
That's Nishiki.
No, I'm just correcting you.
He's a separate character, his ass.
Yes.
But then they started, like, they made more of a character out of everyone else, like... Apparently guy who kind of looks like Iori is, you know, he was brooding through the party and didn't want to come down because he lost in tournament. Like, I don't really know or care who that is.
I don't mind, like, these characters being expanded, but, like, all at once was kind of maybe a bad idea.
It's a dangerous thing to do because you run into a situation where you have too many characters.
It's
and,
what Bleach does is, like, here's 17 new people that you need to care about for, like, just this arc, and then we're never going to mention them again.
Like, I thought they handled it pretty well.
The assumption is because this is a school, they'll have multiple years that they're in the same area, so...
It might have been better to spread it out a little bit.
Yeah. No, I am not disagreeing.
Like, this might have been a little bit too early for this arc. Like, in general. They should have just kind of slowly worked up to it. It also feels like there's an event every week, and, like, it's a life-changing, your career depends on this event thing.
Yeah. 25% of the people get expelled after this event every week.
It just reminded me of the community joke of, like, we've had, like, 8 dances this quarter.
Yeah, I mean, like, during the weekend was, I guess week-wise it was probably longer than it seemed when reading it all at once, but it really feels like it's straight from the... getaway weekend where everyone got thrown out to the election, like, immediately after.
Yeah. It's not immediately, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
A definite click, like, a pace that it's on. Also, that girl's name is Ikumi. Nikumi is the joke nickname. Yeah.
Okay.
Nikumi is Eat.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say read Shokugeki no Soma, but don't read it in public.
Yeah, you made that mistake.
You end up scrolling past a lot of things.
What were you looking at? Oh, nothing.
Not interested at all.
Why would I be looking at something? What makes you think that?
You have the onion open in another tab, and you're just like, nope, I was reading about this hilarious story.
I didn't mention it, but I'm pretty sure somebody actually did see me reading that, because I remember I heard them talking in the background to somebody else about how what anime they used to watch.
Oh, like they saw that you were reading manga and...
Yeah, because I heard something like, yeah, I used to watch Rurouni Kenshin, but I don't think they show that anymore.
God, you just remind me, I actually do have some house cleaning. I went and saw The Wind Rises, the new Miyazaki movie.
How was that?
It's okay. It's not the best, and it's really a lot more of a biography than I was expecting. But it's still beautiful and a good story.
That's his quote-unquote last movie, isn't it?
He's already back down from that.
Yeah.
Which was the sixth
time. He is unretired again.
Yeah.
I thought he just unretired to make a manga and not really...
It was like in December or something. It was like, he was talking to a magazine and it's like, so you're really retired this time? And he's like, nah. I'm working on another one. He's going to do that until he dies. I guarantee it. Like, it will be found dead with a pen in his hand.
I'm at least like 5 or 6 Miyazaki movies behind. I don't think I even saw Howl's Moving Castle.
Howl's Moving Castle's good. You probably don't need to watch Ponyo or Secret World of Arrietty.
Ponyo was amusing to me mostly because of who the voice actor for the dad was.
Liam Neeson?
Yes, so it made it like Taken.
Man, yeah, because his daughter got kidnapped.
Yes.
Yeah, looking over the voice cast for The Wind Rises, like, that's so weird about the Disney dubs, is like every single person is like this famous actor. Like, Elijah voices somebody, but it's like this super minor character that's hardly in the movie.
Well, that's what Disney does. They try to get, like, you know, big names. Yeah.
Also, there was like barely anyone in that theater. When me and my girlfriend got there, there was one other person sitting there. And then a group of girls in Gothic Lolita, like, cosplay showed up.
I remember high school.
But high school. Howl's Moving Castle was good, but I'd say that, like, I don't know, it felt similar to a lot of his earlier stuff. So it felt very derivative. I don't know.
Yeah, if you're thinking about going and seeing The Wind Rises, just, it's a very emotionally intense movie, and I don't know, if there's not really so much a plot as you just follow this guy's life for a period of time, and then it stops following his life. No, he doesn't die or anything. It's just like, okay, the movie's over. The end. It's an interesting
story. I'll see it eventually. I'm probably not going to go see it in theaters, though.
Hey, so speaking of people not dying... Yeah?
On Naruto, where we finally end Footgate.
Footgate 2014. Footgate.
Yes, so... Which I called the first time, but then we kind of ruled it out after the chakra thing, but whatever.
Yeah, so the person that none of them recognized is the person that all of them should have recognized.
Sage Kabuto.
Yes, somehow in sage mode again.
Like, I didn't remember this until you pointed out to me.
I completely forgot that he was out of sage mode until you had mentioned that.
Yeah, that he was completely explicitly taken out of sage mode.
Well, there is a throwaway line here of like, oh, I guess there's a little bit of my chakra left in there.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Yes, and
they also...
Kabuto Snake is in Sasuke.
Yeah, his... Okay, let's say his penis is in Sasuke's chest.
I mean, it's coming through his stomach. That's
sure,
totally
stomach.
Not...
Okay.
Yeah. I like how he's just kind of like looking off to the side, like, not making eye contact with anybody.
He's being all, like, demure sitting there. Like oh,
yeah.
You guys are here.
It's not what it looks like, I swear.
I just love the explanation of, like, how he has this. It's like, I don't know, Kabuto ate a lot of people. He could probably turn back into a sage.
All different kinds of chakra, even sage energy, so he must seem like a completely different person.
Oh god, so I just connected something that happens in the chapter now.
So, Kabuto's there in sage mode, pumping his sage energy into Sasuke to save his life.
Yes, so what we're saying here is Kabuto is the human bone forest.
His human bone forest is like 6 inches deep into Sasuke. So anyway, he's giving him Hashirama cells and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
I love
so it's healing him.
Kabuto gives this big long explanation of what he's doing, and then it cuts over to the second going like, that's right.
Just, yep. I'm here too.
Why he's,
someone take these rods out. Like,
you start to contribute to the conversation.
Like, I understand you're very focused on Sasuke right now.
Well, and
like,
I also like that it was the, you know, second's suggestion or something like that, and that I loved the, you know, throwaway. Well, if it, you know, it's the, oh, wait, no, okay, I misread that. it says, if it isn't my once respected Hokage the second, and I thought he was saying that it was the he was, you know, was, saying the that Hokage that I respected the most.
It was in a, another translation said it was his favorite Hokage the second, which is way sick. <Yeah. laughs>
At least he gets acknowledgement from somebody.
Yep, and in the flashback, no Big Nose Kabuto.
Yet.
Well, Big Nose Kabuto didn't exist in the orphanage.
Well, so, Kabuto says that he realized during the Izanari that, like, or Izanami, I'm sorry, that he does have a place in the world still. He hasn't lost it yet. And he can still go back.
Okay, so I would like to make a suggestion here. Instead of just hypnotizing the entire world into peace by you know, doing the hypnosis Sharingan on the moon, let's do an Izanami on the moon. So then everybody who's a terrible person will be caught in that loop until they figure out how to not be a terrible person.
Yeah, so...
So that loop lasted, like, 5 hours?
It's been more than half a day, hasn't it?
I don't know. They kind of... How long was Hashirama's story? Probably about 2 days. they had a dinner break twice.
I'm just saying it did not take Kabuto that long to, like, completely find himself.
Yeah. Yeah, Orochimaru explains, like, Izanami is released when, like, you come to terms with who you are. Which is really specific for, like... I don't know what kind of battle applications that has.
So Sugetsu
makes
a pretty...
It makes your enemy not be a terrible person.
And then you kill him.
I mean, Naruto can already do that by punching somebody.
Or talking to them.
Yeah.
But this is a more powerful than you know,
it is no jutsu. It's the literal talk no jutsu.
It makes them talk no jutsu themselves.
So Sugetsu makes the pretty good point that why should anyone trust Kabuto? Because the whole thing was kind of his fault.
And then there's a panel where everyone's silent.
And Kabuto and Obito are looking down on Naruto and Sasuke in parallels.
Yes. Yeah. So how badly did this page parallel?
Yeah, Greg and I were talking that we thought this was going to give you an aneurysm when you got to this page.
I mean, at this point, it doesn't even faze me. I did mentally go parallels.
I mean, Obito and Naruto, Kabuto and Sasuke are parallels. They're both healing them, which is parallels. They're right above each other on the page in parallel.
And actually, isn't Kabuto technically a Senju?
What do you mean, the sage?
No. Sorry, the clan.
Is he?
Is he?
I thought he belonged to that one, so you have the Uchiha and Senju, like, cross parallel there, too.
I don't know that he's... Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know if he is, like, Senju, but I think that he was one of the ones from that clan. I don't know.
Maybe. I thought his background was always pretty murky, because he's just an orphan. But yeah, they're literally parallel on this page.
So Madara is mocking Team Kakashi.
Yeah.
For thinking that, you know, Guy is going to make some big difference.
Which...
And
yeah.
Guy, you know, asks the important question, is that Madara?
Who's that guy?
Yes.
Just told you, man.
So they start talking it out, and they're saying, okay, only sage techniques and taijutsu work on him.
And then Guy recognizes...
Hand-to-hand physical fight.
Guy recognizes that word.
He's like, I can do that.
Hit things, I can hit them. And they start kind of...
And the fourth basically explains why he was not in the awesome Kate, like he didn't have the sage mode when Naruto was, sort of thing. He's like, yeah, mine aren't very good.
So apparently, yeah, Fourth has a weakness, is that he doesn't use Sage Chakra pretty well.
Yeah. He's good at everything else except that.
Also, you know, he can't make seals right now.
I mean, I assume that's a thing Jiraiya never got around to teaching him.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he didn't care to learn, because he's like, I don't know, I can teleport and kill people, whatever.
Yeah.
So Guy opens the seventh gate.
Without even asking, he just smiles and like, yep, eighth gates, go.
So, green chakra.
Wow, apparently the first translation I had couldn't even do colors right.
Well, I think technically it's azure, because he's the azure beast.
Yeah.
But they translated it as green.
So he goes after Madara, and he can't really hurt him.
Yeah, Madara's able to keep up with him.
Yeah. The fourth warns not to touch his balls or rod. What?
How long
That's
were
you true.
Sitting on that one?
Like 10 seconds.
So Guy uses his afternoon tiger attack and blows himself away.
Yeah, it just totally backfires.
And Madara tries to use, or hits him with one of his balls, and Fourth decides he needs to get there as quick as possible.
He tries to attack him with one of it, so.
Yeah, while he's down. But before Fourth can get there and Kakashi can throw the kunai, Rock Lee comes in and takes Guy out of there.
And then there's a lot of that ball flying around that's kind of hard to follow.
Like 5 or 6 panels of the ball.
I think it's supposed to be following them, or like trying to.
And so 10-10 somewhere else. And
I don't know,
Rock Lee saw the Afternoon Tiger and rushed over there. And guy's kind of busted up.
Yeah, his rib and arm are busted.
And Gachi goes, huh, I guess Tenshi doesn't work, huh?
Weird. We probably should have tried it before telling you that.
Yeah. We maybe should have done a few more experiments on that.
It's still too soon to completely rule it out. There is one more gate.
Yeah. And then Kakashi looks super shocked. And then he flashes back to young guy challenging him. So, guy's hopefully going to die here, huh?
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing has been about the new generation taking over.
Yeah.
Guy all but says he's prepared to die for the country.
And that he's about to do so.
Yep. Yeah. So he's going to open the final gate, which is, as they've explained several times throughout the series, is the Death Gate.
I'm really interested to see what it looks like. I hope it's not just red mist like they were saying earlier.
Is his hair going to go up all golden?
Oh, man, if he goes Super Saiyan. Like, no, that would it goes gold, but does not raise, so he just has like a gold bowl cut.
Yes, because his hair is too pristine to modify.
So he says, yeah. The Azure days are over. He's going to become the Red Beast now instead of the Azure Beast.
So he's going to at least stop Madara long enough for Naruto to heal.
Yeah.
Naruto to heal and come back to see Guy die.
I kind of wonder if we're also going to get another Lee-Gaara team up since they're both there.
Yeah. I still think that's probably the best fight in the series.
Them versus Kimimaro.
I mean, well, look, that's pretty good too, but yeah, I mean, Lee versus Gaara.
Any fight involving the two of them is good.
Yeah.
Man, thinking about Kimimaro's fight, that was literally a human bone forest, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Kimimaro, did he get revived?
No. Wait, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
We saw a couple of the Sound 4, but I don't think they did much. And by Sound 4, I mean like the 6 people that comprise it.
Yeah.
And then 10-10 is going to come in and save the day.
Yeah, what was it that you told me, the Sage of 10-10 Paths?
Yeah, there's some people referring to her as the Sage of the 10-10 Paths, so she will come in and save the day.
She has the Ninetales stuff still.
Yep.
It's not going to happen, but it'd be so great if she actually did just, like, defeat Madara and then Naruto and Sasuke show up.
And they go, well, nothing better to do. You want to fight? Sure, sounds good.
She hasn't had a fight the entire post-timescape, I think.
She fought herself.
Yeah, but that was off-screen.
Yeah. But, you know, it happened.
Did she really have any fight other than the one Chunin exam thing ever?
No.
No. I think she might have the record for the least fights of the
least screen time. And
it's probably between her and the bug guy.
Shino?
Shino had pretty major fight in the Rescue Sasuke arc.
Yeah.
Also, you had a fight in the Orochimaru invasion.
No, that was. Specifically, not.
I was thinking about the invasion.
Yeah, when he fights Kankuro.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, still, that's like the one fight. Oh, and he fought Zaku. He plugged his holes with bugs.
Yeah. He's had at least 2 fights.
And they were more interesting than Tenten's 2 fights.
I wonder if Tenten was just really unpopular. Like, she never ranked high in popularity polls.
I don't know.
I just wonder if he was kind of like, tried. All right, I need the girl for this group. She's a weapons expert. There you go.
What can you do with weapons? How about she uses all the weapons? Okay, what else can she do? I don't know. Just off screen.
I can't write good fights with weapons. I have to have magic stuff. So.
Also, she loved Neji, but then wasn't that broken up when Neji died?
Yeah, made a joke out of it. So, on to One Piece.
Yep. Where Chopper is doing a luau.
Like a USO tour or something.
Yeah, for mice.
Yeah.
With a couscous and an ai.
And
I'm sure those are adorable animals.
Luffy and Violet are running away from Pika, who is blocking them at every turn.
Yeah, Pika is doing everything he can, and they left Zoro behind to fight him, but Zoro, you know, doesn't know how to cut him properly.
Zoro keeps slashing into things, but doesn't seem to be making any actual damage.
Yeah, because he's just like infinite stone. He's not having a problem cutting him. It's just not doing any good. Yeah,
he is the castle. So
it also seems like it also seems like Pika's paying specific attention to Zoro because his head is over there.
Yeah.
It's just like his arms that are shooting out after Luffy.
I feel like he is moving Luffy and Violet towards somewhere, though.
Yeah, because he's like shifting the walls around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then
so
it cuts
Soldier
to...
One Leg is, you know, they're fighting. He and the Kabuto Beetles are running and fighting against other people now.
Whatever happened to Lao Ji? Yeah. I guess they just ran past him?
Yeah, I don't know.
So he's fighting Gladios, who was that guy we saw earlier.
What did happen to Lao Ji? Huh.
Yeah,
I was thinking that when I read
had,
it. It was like...
The last thing that happened was he had taken out Soldier One Leg and did his G pose.
When I was reading this, I wondered if I was missing a chapter, because a bunch of stuff happened off screen.
Yeah, not even just with Soldier, like other stuff happened too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just he's speeding it up. And
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so we're to assume that he either beat him or ran away.
Right. So Soldier One Leg is trying his best to get past Gladios.
Yeah, who is the exploding hair guy that we said we hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah.
And he has the Pam Pam fruit, which makes him a rupture human.
Yeah.
So he can, like, inflate anything until it explodes.
Yeah, so he inflates his wrists until they explode and takes out the dwarves.
Yeah. He was, you know, inflating Soldier One Leg's head, but then Luffy shows up.
And jet stamps Gladios in the chest.
Yeah.
So Luffy grabs Soldier One Leg. It's like, hey, where's Frankie?
I love how he's holding him, by the way, just like upside down by the hat.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that was the easiest thing to grab because it was super inflated.
And Gladios is super pissed off because he just now realized that Violet had betrayed Doflamingo.
Yeah.
So they all take off running.
Yeah, Luffy tries to pick a fight.
They have someplace they need to get to.
Yeah.
So it's Violet and Rebecca have to be half-sisters, right?
She's stepmother. Yeah, aunt. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought she was.
We had assumed daughters for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Well, no, there was
because they're both princesses.
Like, it was not clear until a couple chapters ago.
Right, right. Now, that's why we assumed sisters is because they were both called princesses.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if I'm not mistaken, she is the daughter of the former king, and then there was another daughter that married Soldier One Leg that had Rebecca.
Yeah.
So she thanks Soldier One Leg for all he's been doing for Rebecca, not quite realizing that
it's
he's Krios.
Because,
everyone forgot since he turned into a toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gladios freaks out.
And explodes into rocks.
Yeah.
Blows his head.
And one of them punctures through Violet.
And Luffy's like, oh, I really should have been able to block that.
Yep.
Carrying Soldier One Leg in that arm.
So then he's carrying both of them and jumps out a window and hooks his foot.
Yeah.
Because he went the wrong way. He thought he was going down.
Yeah, a really awesome scene where he puts his foot back up and launches himself higher up on the tower.
Yeah.
So they rocket up to the top where Doflamingo is. And then we find out where Kinemon is.
Well, no, Gladios sees Doflamingo walking around, who is clearly Doflamingo.
It is totally Doflamingo. Nice sideburns and beard you got going there.
I do like that this is in keeping with the lore, essentially, because Kinemon's like a tanuki samurai.
Yeah.
So him being able to disguise himself works out pretty well.
I just love that Gladios just totally falls for this. He looks terrible. He doesn't... The hair is so wrong.
It is not the worst costume One
Piece
has.
He's wearing a feather coat, and that's about it.
So Kinemon announces himself as Don Quixote before.
He's got the tight pants and the hairy legs.
Before the dwarf corrects him, is like, no, Don Quixote calls himself Young Master.
Ah, and then he corrects himself to Young Master.
And then Gladios totally believes it.
Basically tells Gladios to go back. He, like, shoos Gladios away.
And he mentioned that the samurai there that Kinemon was looking for has disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that Luffy, Violet, and Soldier One Leg are outside Doflamingo's window, Luffy's like, why can't I just go in there and beat him up?
You'll ruin the pacing.
I mean, it's a pretty good question. Why can't Luffy just go in there and beat them up?
So we see Doflamingo, Baby Five, and Buffalo like interrogating Law, pretty much.
Yeah, so why does Buffalo have the chains on him?
I think that's part of his design.
Okay, yeah, I didn't remember those.
Always had those.
Yeah. So, you know, they're interrogating him and trying to find out, you know, why the heck is all of this happening?
So Baby Five slaps Law, and then he gives her a smoldering look, and she gets overly emotional.
She starts crying. So Law's, he says their alliance is over, and he has nothing to do with them anymore. And he doesn't.
So he has no idea why Straw Hat would be doing what they're doing.
And then Doflamingo asks Riku if he's behind what's going on.
And Violet notices, hey, my father's here. How strange. And yes. Even Soldier One Leg didn't even realize that King Riku was still alive.
Yeah. I guess Riku's done a really good job of staying underground.
Yeah. And he swears where that he's going to come back and save him.
He was the masked gladiator.
Yeah, I know, but where was he?
He's probably just hiding.
Somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
In a house. So now Soldier One Leg is like kind of super eager to go in and save him now.
Yeah.
And he's just waiting for the moment that Sugar is put to sleep.
Yeah.
So all their hopes rest on Usopp.
No, rest on Uso Land.
Right, who went down there alone.
And Frankie was supposed to meet them there, but he can't make it. So he's just going
to
kick his butt.
Frankie was supposed to be the distraction to keep people focused up top.
So the foreshadowing here is that everyone's just referring to Usopp as if he went down there alone.
Well, no, and they're referring to him as Uso Land. This will play in a little bit better and will make the end of the chapter not quite as annoying.
Sure, Uso Land.
Well, we first want to mention that the Marines have caught up to Frankie.
Also, I guess Frankie finished his fight with the swimming dude.
Yeah.
Which is another thing that was like, I don't know if I missed a chapter or not, but he was like, the Marines have caught up to him, and so he's just going to take out as many people as he can in the meantime.
Yeah, he's just making his stand there.
Yeah.
And then the next page is what made me really think I missed a chapter.
That Robin has been turned into a toy.
Yeah.
And so my guess was not accurate in that her grown arms could still turn her into a toy.
Yes.
Yeah. And she was holding her in a way that she couldn't touch her, but like one hand was too far up, so she just like could barely touch her with her fingertips.
Yeah.
That is a crazy broken power.
Yes, it is.
Unless you're a sniper.
Yeah. They don't have any of those, though.
Yeah.
But, the thing to remember is they forget everything having to do with the person. So, like, everything from when the Straw Hats got Robin on will just kind of be fuzzy. They'll know what they're doing now, but, like, Frankie probably only knows Usopp as Uso Land at this point. It's not like he remembers everything that happened in Water 7. Except that Robin wasn't there. It's that the overarching details, because if you recall the Conehead guy doesn't, you know, remember that there was somebody that he had appointed to the head of his fleets and whatnot. He was wishing he had someone he could appoint to that position, even though his son used to be in that position, but he forgot his son, and so he forgot that there was even anybody in that position in the first place.
So there's nothing that motivating Usopp to be, like, the heroic Soka King anymore.
Yeah, he has lost that. So, Sugar's power can, like, undo personal growth.
So, we see Sugar and Treble examining the grape, which is still intact, apparently.
Yeah, it reeks of something awful.
And she's holding it, like, right in front of her mouth.
Yeah.
As Usopp is running the hell away.
Yeah, because if you remember, like, last chapter, he was telling everybody else, you guys need to retreat. He was staying there. But he was telling everybody else they needed to retreat. But
he was being brave.
Yeah.
Now he's saying, like, hell, I'm going to risk my life for you guys and running away.
I actually kind of like that aspect of it, that without Robin being there, he doesn't remember the time that he had to really pick it up. And
there's, like, a ripple effect going through all the Straw Hats.
Yeah.
That's at least my interpretation. That's what I'm getting from this, which originally it was bothering me, and that kind of occurred to me, and I don't know.
It really makes me sad that Sanji's not around, because I'd like to see a scene where, like, he can't forget Robin.
He's just like, oh, that beautiful black-haired woman. What was her name? Wait, what am I talking about? Oh, yes, that beautiful black-haired woman.
He just caught in an infinite loop.
Right now, he's fighting Big Mom, and that's what's going to cause his defeat, is he's caught in that infinite.
If only there was more women on this boat except Nami. Yeah, so I really, really hope we have the return of Soge King.
I can see it.
That will be where his courage comes from, is he'll go through that whole thing again.
Or he'll see the mask and think about it, or something like that, and
the mask
I don't know.
Is there. I don't know. I don't know what happened to that mask.
He has his bag of holding, you know?
Yeah, that's true. He's got whatever in there. So yeah, this was a busy chapter. There was a lot going on.
There was a whole lot going on, and there was a whole lot that was skipped, too. So, yeah. Also, while talking about One Piece, start watching the dub on Toonami if you're not, because it's getting to the really awesome stuff.
Ah, yes, and...
Have they shot the flag yet?
No, they're about to head for Enies Lobby.
Oh, the flag part is, like, my favorite moment in the series.
That's, like, the definitive One Piece moment.
Yeah. Alright, so, we done with One Piece?
Yep.
Because there's no Assassination Classroom this week, but Viz announced that they've picked it up.
Yeah, it's now officially licensed.
Yes.
And they're going to be putting out actual physical volumes of it.
Yeah.
Are they running it in Shonen Jump Alpha or just volumes?
No,
not been anything about adding it in there, but...
But they should.
I
don't know. Considering the volume comes out in, like, December, that would give them plenty of time to put the chapters in Shonen Jump Alpha, if not just for, like, just advertisement, you know.
Why are they taking till December?
Because they're weird.
It would not surprise me if, because there's now services like Crunchyroll and stuff like that that are doing manga too, because there's competition, that they might try and expand their library.
I think it's taking them until December because they do a lot of manga. You know, I don't know. It's weird that it's like, it's what, March, and they're announcing that it's coming out in December 9th now.
It's really weird. Like, it seems like you'd either announce it later or, you know, at least try to get it out faster.
I mean, that's another, what, like 30 Assassination Classroom chapters that are going to be out by then.
Oh, yes, and I guess we should note the other two things that they're announcing, that they announced in that, which is in January, you can get Jacko, the Galactic Patrolman, in volume form. And then the other thing is One Piece Box Set 2 is coming out in November.
Yeah, so they
the box sets are, what, 30 volumes?
Wow.
Yeah, no, they're expensive, but they're huge, and they're a hell of a lot cheaper than buying the actual things.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, like, the first one is listed for, it's volumes 1 to 23, and it's $117, but that's still a lot cheaper than buying them individually.
It's like $5 a book, or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then. Let's wrap this up.
Okay.
Alright, this has been your Friday, March 7th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Another
thank you. One.
We'll see you all next week.
Later. I watched a video of the last, like, DBZ special or whatever, the one with Vegeta's little brother.
What?
Yeah.
Vegeta has a little brother?
Yeah. You know, TARDIS? Something like that.
Shouldn't he also be named Vegeta?
No. Well, he's his shitty brother that can't fight, so his father sent him to live on a moon somewhere.
That sounds familiar.
And then he needs Vegeta's help because someone's attacking his planet that he lives on, and then everybody wants to help, and so they go have a turnip pulling contest. Whoever can pull the biggest turnip gets to go help. It was Trunks. Trunks pulled it.